Turn to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. And I thought about doing something else tonight, but no, I think we'll go ahead with Proverbs. And so Proverbs chapter 21. Brother Jay, we are not getting any in this section at the front. Now, did y'all get some right there? Nobody in this section here. Okay, Lord, thank you. And if you keep your hands up just for a second there, and they will get one of those to you tonight. Proverbs chapter 21. A couple of weeks ago, we gave you a sheet that had all the lessons. I think it was 55 lessons on there. And if you missed that, I don't know if there's still any of those available or not, but you could get one of those. We're in Proverbs 21 tonight. Still down here in the front, Brother Adams, on the front row down here. These guys did not get one, and they need one. The Three Stooges down here on the front row. Amen. Mo, Larry, and Curly. Who's who, fellas? All right. So, okay. Anybody else not get one? All right. Thank you, man. Father, bless the lesson tonight. Be with Brother Mick and the folks upstairs, and you give them a good time together as they talk about the young people here at the church. I pray that you'll please bless that meeting. Be with us here. Speak to our hearts. Teach us from your word tonight. Principles of wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, right into it. Verse number 11, chapter 21, verse number 11. Solomon's writing here, the wise man, and he says, "When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge." So living wisely, principle number 56. Number one on your sheet, the wise learn from the lives of others. The wise learn from the lives of others. Now listen again or follow along there in your Bible. Look at it again. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. When the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. And I think that is a reference again to the simple man. And if you look back just across the page in chapter 19 and verse 25, you find a similar verse where the Bible says, "Smite a scorner and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge." Now, you got similar verses here in chapter 19 and 21. There are three people mentioned in these two verses. The first person mentioned is the scorner, all right? The scorner. Now, this person is a scoffer, one who mocks and makes light of truth, one who mocks and makes light of God's righteousness, God's authority, and other matters pertaining to God, okay? He's gone public with it, all right? It's not done in a corner. It's not a quiet thing. He's public with his scoffing and his mocking and making light of truth. Then you've got the wise person. Now, the word wise is not used in chapter 19, verse 25, but that phrase, "one that hath understanding," is a reference to a wise person, okay? So the wise person, of course, is speaking about the exact opposite of the scorner, all right? This is the person who values everything that the scorner mocks. This person values the truth of God. He values the righteousness of God. He values the authority of God and other matters pertaining to God. While the one fella is making light of it and being foolish about it, the wise man values it, considers it highly, all right? And then you've got the term simple. That's used in both verses. Now, again, we've talked about this several times in this study in the book of Proverbs. This is not a reference to a person who's mentally handicapped. Like you might refer to some of the mentally handicapped adults that we minister to on Sunday morning as being simple-minded. That's not a slap. That's just an honest fact. They're simple-minded. But that's not what the word simple means in the book of Proverbs. This is the young person, okay? The young person who is still at an age in life where they are trying to nail down the path that they're going to take. They're trying to narrow it down. The word picture is roomy, okay? They haven't narrowed things down. The adults in this room, for the most part, you've narrowed down. We've talked about this, but I just like to rehearse it every now and again. You've narrowed down what you believe about life based on the Word of God, okay? And, this is why it's easier to lead a child or teenager to Jesus Christ than it is someone in their 60s or 70s or 80s. You have somebody in their 60s, 70s, or 80s that gets saved. It's an unusual thing because adults are narrowed down. They're narrowed down in what they believe. And if what they believe is not based on the Word of God, they're based on wrong belief. It's hard to get them to see the truth. Whereas a teenager or a child has a lot of room for influence. They got some room there. And so this is what it's talking about. Okay, the simple is the young person. And that's the person that Solomon is trying to influence through the Proverbs. So all these Proverbs were written, the bulk of them, for the simple. For the young person that has some, they got to narrow things down a little bit and get more determined about how life is going to be lived out. And this is the young person who is still easily influenced by those around him. Now you got the three people. You got the scorners, you got the wise, and you got the simple. Now twice, not just once, but twice, in chapter 19 and verse 20, and chapter 21, the wise man said, number two on your sheet, when the scorner is punished, the simple will take note and learn a lesson from the scorner's mistakes. When the scorner is punished, the simple will take note and learn a lesson from the scorner's mistakes. Or they should, at least. And then number three on your page, when twice again, the wise man said, when the wise is instructed, the simple will take note and learn a lesson from the wise man's obedience. So the simple has the opportunity to learn. And number four, are we all together, okay? Number four is this, folks. There is wisdom in learning from the successes and failures of others. There's wisdom in learning from the successes and failures of others. Now, in fact, I did a short series on basically learning from folks in the Bible whose lives were a colossal failure. And God put the story recorded for us in the Scripture. And you remember that in the Proverbs, He told him to go by the field of the slothful and look on it and learn. So here's a guy who's been a colossal failure, and Solomon said to the young people, and others said, you know, you can go by the field and look on this and learn from it. Okay? Now look, let's nail this down. It's wrong to be openly critical of someone who makes a mistake. All right, we're not talking about being critical. All right, we don't want to develop an attitude of superiority in ourselves and especially in our children and teens. Don't forget the Bible says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." And I wrote number five on your sheet here. You never help a child by teaching them to be critical. You don't do that. You don't help a child by teaching them. I watched this lived out years and years ago. Where for some reason there was a mother who spoke with one of her daughters and I don't know if she was trying to build her daughter's self-esteem, if she was trying to build her daughter's self-image. I don't like all that terminology, but I don't know what she was trying to do, but she did it by tearing down all the other teenage girls in the church. And she would say to her daughter, you know, that girl's too skinny, that girl's too heavy, that girl's hair never looks nice, but yours always looks nice. And that girl's she's kind of homely, but you're a pretty girl. You know, there are ways, look, if you have to build up yourself or somebody else by tearing everybody else down, you got trouble. Okay? So there's no sense in that. We're not talking about teaching our children to be critical. All right? No. We don't want to rear negative-minded, critiquing children. Okay? But, folks, Solomon makes it clear that when people go public with their scorning or their wisdom, learn from it. It's being lived out in front of you. It's not that you're looking to be critical. You know, I told somebody recently I was in a certain place and I didn't go there with a critical eye to look for things that weren't right, but I did go there with a watchful eye. There's a difference. There's a big difference. So you don't want to rear your children with the attitude that you're looking for, you know, ways to critique and so forth. But good night, man. When the scorner has gone public with their careless attitude toward God, their caustic attitude toward right, they've thrown caution to the wind and they've become boastfully caustic and cynical. When that person has lived that full living color in front of you, learn from it. Learn from it. And of course, you know, the famous saying is the only thing we'd learn from history is that we don't learn from history. So it's nuts, you know. So that's what Solomon is saying here. You know, and here's a scorner, and the scorner is dealt with either by a human authority or by the hand of God. And folks, sometimes human authority doesn't even have to get involved. The hand of God, God does it Himself. And He deals with scorners. And so when that happens, Solomon said, when that happens, the simple should be able to look at that and learn and gain from it, okay? And don't let it just pass without taking the opportunity to learn from that. Now, again, I want to make it clear, it is unwise to sit with our families and speak critically of others, even those who are living outside of the will of God. It's wise to have compassion and patience with people who are struggling in their Christian walk. But it is also wise to learn from the lives of people who've gone public with their rebellion or people who are public with their submission to Christ. You know, impressionable young people can learn from the praise and the correction of others. Now, personally, I would much rather teach kids from the successes of others than the failures of others. But I will be honest with you, through the years when we had family altar, our children were at home under our roof, and there were people who lived out their rebellion in open, full living color in front of our kids. I dealt with it. And I never dealt with it with a demeaning spirit or an ugly spirit, but I tried to deal with it with a teaching spirit. Not an ugly spirit. You know, the spirit is everything. And hear me. Your kids will catch your spirit before they catch your words. They'll catch your spirit before they catch. You'd be surprised how many teenagers are cynical because of cynical spirits and attitudes in their parents. And their parents make cynical statements around the dinner table in front of their kids, and the kids pick up on that. So be careful about it. I'm not talking about sitting around criticizing somebody who's struggling. You know, the best thing to do probably is to pray for them, that God would help them. But when rebellion was lived out, and the opposite was true too, when somebody lived out in full color, a submissive spirit toward God and their parents, I would point that out to my children, and I would use them as an example. Because I think the Bible's clear here. Solomon makes it clear. When this kind of thing is lived out in full color in front of your eyes, learn from it. Learn from it, okay? So, living wise, principle number 56, the wise learn from the lives of others. All right, number 57, on number 6 on your sheet here, we're going to move to chapter 22 now, and one of the most familiar verses in all the book of Proverbs to us, chapter 22, verse number 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. So, number 57, the wise understand the value of a good reputation. The wise understand the value of a good reputation. There are some things in life more valuable than money. There are some things in life more valuable than money. And a good name is one of those. Now, there is a difference between reputation and character. Number 7 on your sheet, reputation is what man thinks of us. Character is what God knows of us. Okay? Reputation is what man thinks of us. Character is what God knows of us. And if a person must make a choice between the two, of course it would always be more important to choose good character. Okay? Truth of the matter is, I think that sometimes personality can discolor our reputation, if you will. For instance, there might be a man with a poor personality who might develop a reputation as an uncaring man when in reality his heart is huge. His heart is huge. Now, look, I've said last year so many times that, you know, I don't think Mr. Trump is a very moral person. President Trump is a moral person. But I did hear a story about him. Maybe you heard the same story. And it kind of tells you a little bit about people's character. I heard that Brother Adam, the Patriots owner, Mr. Kraft, and it was a longtime friend. He actually was questioned about his friendship with President Trump. Anybody else hear this? Because somebody told me this. I'm going on hearsay. If you heard this, it's good to know. Okay. So Mr. Kraft was asked. He said Donald and I have been friends for 20 years. He said his wife passed away 2 or 3 years ago. Okay? And he said, when my wife died, he said, you'd be surprised. I got very few phone calls. He said, Donald Trump called me. He said he and his wife came to my wife's funeral. And for a year after my wife's death, he called me once a week to ask me how I was doing. Did I need anything? And he was thinking of me. Now, again, I have no idea where this thing is going. It's crazy, isn't it? It's just, what's next? You know, it's just, I mean, it's wild. I have no idea where it's going. But I'm saying, you know, you get a little tidbit about a man's character when you hear something like that. Reputation can be discolored sometimes by personality. But what I'm talking about there, that's not reputation, that's character. Okay? And character will eventually bear out the truth about a person. But folks, it doesn't hurt to work at developing a good reputation. Now, character is part of a good name. And so is reputation. D.L. Moody said, number 8 on your list there, if I take care of my character, my reputation will take care of itself. And that's probably a good statement, okay? It's not scripture, but it's probably a wise statement. If I take care of my character, my reputation will take care of itself. And if your personality discolors your reputation, over time, if your character's good, it's going to straighten out your reputation. Does that make sense? Okay? So, it's important, all right? It's wise to have solid character and a good reputation. You want your name to be reputable. And the Bible says that when it comes down to choosing a good name or great riches, the wise man always chooses the good name. Always. Over stacks of money and silver. And he makes it very clear. Great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. These things are more important than money, and that's so vital for our young people and even us older folks to understand in this materialistic driven era of the world, the age of the world that we're living in right now. Money is not the end. There are things far better than money, okay? And a good name is one. Riches are fleeting. They're here today, gone tomorrow. A good name, number 9, a good name will last for a lifetime and even beyond. Okay? A good lifetime and even beyond. And, you know, you throw out a couple names from you from over 200 years ago. Nathan Hale or Benedict Arnold. And how long have those men been dead? Over 200 years, over centuries, over two centuries. And yet there's a lasting stigma in their reputation because of what they did and so forth, all right? Now, if we develop a good name, it will be the result of hard work. Number 10 on your sheet is it takes time and effort to develop a good name. It takes time and effort to develop a good name. Many companies have worked hard to produce such quality. We talked about this 3 or 4 weeks ago. They work hard to produce a specific quality in their product. And now their name sells their product. And again, you know, we're talking about John Deere, you ladies, KitchenAid. That means something in a kitchen, okay? Levi's when it comes to jeans and so forth and so on. We're not going to repeat all those. But just like a reputable company puts time and effort into developing their products for reputation's sake, it takes time and effort to develop a good name. You boys probably aren't going to develop a good name in third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade. But you start working on it. You start working on it. And then you get older in 7th grade, 8th grade, and you work on it, and you work on it. You young ladies do the same thing. And over time, you will develop a good name, a good reputation. Money cannot buy a good name. It's got to be earned. And to earn it, you must work at it consistently. I want you to notice one thing. We'll be off of this, okay? A good name is a choice. It's a choice. A good name is rather to be chosen. All right? Number 11, nobody ever develops a good name just because they want one. They develop one because of right and good choices. Okay? So you're not going to get one just because you want it. You've got to make right and good choices. Choose honesty, be a person of your word, treat people with respect. You'll develop a good reputation. It may take some time. And one more thought about it, and we'll move to the next principle. We'll get done here in good time tonight. Once a good name is developed, be careful to maintain it. Don't answer out loud. Finish this statement in your mind. David and blank. Jonah and... Okay. Now, if I took a survey, I would imagine that a lot of people put the word Goliath in David. But there probably were some here who put Bathsheba in there. And with Jonah, I doubt anybody put the word revival in that blank. Everybody probably put the whale in there. But the truth of the matter is, Jonah preached one of the greatest revivals recorded in the Word of God. The whole city of Nineveh came out repenting. What happens? I'll tell you what happens. One great transgression can mar a good name. One great transgression can mar a good name. Listen very carefully to something that you've heard many times. It takes a lot longer to build up than it does to tear down. You can build up. It will take you years and years and years to build something up. You can tear it down in 10 minutes. So one great transgression can mar a good name. Be careful with your reputation. Protect it. Okay? Protect. If you're working hard to build not only good character, but a good reputation, protect it. Okay? Watch it. Guard it. All right. Number 58. Number 12 on your sheet. Living wisely principle number 58. Chapter 22, verse number 7. Verse number 7. Okay? The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Here's our lesson. The wise avoid as much debt as possible. The wise avoid as much debt as possible. Now, there are people who take this verse and other verses like the one in Romans that says, owe no man anything. But then it goes on to talk about but to love one another. I do not believe that they take those verses and they use them to teach that it is absolute sin to have debt. Now, I don't find that in those verses. That thing, owe no man anything. The greatest debt you and I have to, we owe people is love. That's the greatest debt we owe people. Okay? Now, with that in mind, I don't think it's a sin to have debt. And some people make that case. But I do find a very real truth here, and that is the borrower is servant to the lender. So if we borrow money, we are given a day on which our payment must be made, a minimum amount that must be paid, and a penalty if it's not paid. Who dictates the terms of the agreement? The lender. Okay. We had our annual meeting today with the folks from People's Bank, one of the ladies who has been servicing us for, I guess, 10 years or so, Pam Dunlap. She's a very nice lady. She's retiring. She's retiring in next week. She's retiring, and so we found that out, and we got an edible arrangement. We got a Dunkin' Donut gift card, and I said, let's give her a brand new Schofield Bible, and I signed it, and we had things there for them today, and you know, at the close of the session with them, I said, hey, you know what? Can I just pray? And I prayed for her, and she was weeping when I got done. She was crying. So was Naomi. But it doesn't take much to make Naomi cry, amen. So, you find that out, Brother Mike? It doesn't take much to make your wife cry. What's that? Okay. But we had a good meeting, you know. But, you know, hey, you know, so we gave them the financial information from last year, and you remember there was a decrease in the general fund giving. And he's looking at it, you know, and I said, I was ready, man. I had my ducks in a row. I was prepared. And so, you know, I started talking, and he said, now, you know, and I said, and he said, okay, this building fund money, and that's not the mortgage. I said, no, that's not the mortgage. The mortgage is in that line item right there, building and grounds. We take all of our mortgage payment out of there. He's making notes, and this is what he said. He said, I like to know this, because if they just look at these numbers and they see building fund, you know, whatever it was, they don't know what that is. He said, I don't want them to downgrade your credit rating. And Matt Olszewski is his name. He's very... Folks, I think one of the smartest things that God ever led us to do was to do business with a local privately owned bank. This is not corporate people. They live here. Their kids go to school in this area. They're part of they're indigenous to this town. And so you're giving them a plug. I give them a pat on the back and a plug. They do a good job. Okay? But, you know, and he's looking at our loan. He says, you guys are, and of course, you know, they're not really excited that we're on a path to get that thing paid off. You know, they just say, slow down, take your time, you know. But you see, they have this meeting. They have a right to have that meeting. They loaned us $1.8 million. Okay? And thankfully now it's only down to what, six lessons. We made a payment, so it's less than six lessons. It's less than $660 now. And we're excited about that. But this is, you say, well, who are they to call over? No, the borrower is servant to the lender. That's how it works. That's how it works. I don't think it's a sin to have debt, but I think you better go into it with your eyes wide open. And, you know, when you sign your name on the bottom line there, you are a servant to that lender. And you know, very few people can buy a house without going into debt. Very few. Okay? And a house is not as bad a debt as a car. And I'm not the financial wizard. A lot of you guys, you know, read Dave Ramsey and these other guys who've written these books, one before Dave Ramsey. He's been around for years. Burkett, Larry Burkett. So these guys, okay, they're financial, they're okay, and I haven't read all their stuff, but there's some good stuff, and I'm no financial wizard, okay? But number 14 on your sheet here, real estate, property, and houses usually appreciate in value. In fact, I didn't even have to use the word in value. That's what appreciate means, okay? So real estate, property, and houses usually appreciate in value. Cars depreciate as soon as you drive them off the lot, especially new cars. So, you know, I'm not saying it's a sin to have a car payment, okay? But if I buy a vehicle on time, I am paying for something that is losing value. I have to understand that and be careful about that, okay? I'm not saying it's a sin to have a car payment. I'm saying wisdom avoids as much debt as possible. Wisdom drives the car longer than the heart wants to. Wisdom drives the car longer than the heart wants to. You don't ever buy a car when you've got car fever. Okay? Don't ever buy a car when you've got car fever. And so be careful, okay? Now, folks, look, why are there so many institutions that line up to lend us money? Why do they spend? They send me these things. I toss them up every day. They spend thousands of dollars on advertisement, postage, paper, time to direct mail us applications for another credit card. And please, for heaven's sakes, be careful with the credit card. You young people especially. Please. If you've got to put something on there, pay it off at the end of the month. They make cards that you have to pay it off. Isn't American Express that way? You have to pay it off. Be careful with credit cards, especially you young people. My goodness. Folks, why did I get all these things, man? I remember when our kids turned 18. Boom, here came all these things. I mean, just tons of them. Why do you think that is? Get a hook in you. So be careful. Now, there's money to be made in lending money. If you have to go in debt, number 15, to buy a house, then follow these simple rules, okay? And most people do. Do not overbuy, okay? Do not overbuy. Don't buy bigger than you need. Start out with what works, folks, okay? Small is good. Okay? Small is good when you're starting out. So don't overbuy. You know, oh, I need a 4-bedroom, 3-bath. No, you don't. Not for you and your wife and one child. Unless it falls in your lap, and you get it for a song and a dance. Well, but Baptists don't dance, but a song. Amen? So, okay. But anyway, so don't overbuy. Next, make an extra payment on principal yearly. Now, this may have changed because I'm going on past stuff here, but I just remember this. They would tell you if you had a 30-year loan, if you would make one pay, let's say your payment is $650 a month, and I just throw that figure out there. So it's $500 principal, excuse me, it's $500 interest, and it's $150 principal. Okay, it's a 30-year loan. If you could save $650 during a year and put one payment on principal, one, in 12 month time. I remember reading this and hearing it more than once. I believe it's right. I believe it knocks 12 years off the life of your loan. Now think of that. So you get this loan and you're, $650 a month, but you need to budget, instead of 12 payments, you need to budget for 13. And then when you get to that threshold, that $650, put it all on the principal. And if you can do that once a year, every year, now you're not going to be paying. Folks, that's 12 years off the life of the loan. It's incredible. So make an extra payment. Now, somebody with, some of you financial guys, you got more sense than I do about this, but the third one is pay weekly or at least biweekly. But that's going to depend on your lender. Okay? Sometimes that's written into the contract that you can't pay weekly or biweekly. But if you can write that in to your contract to pay weekly or biweekly. So if your payment is $650 a month, you, every 2 weeks you're paying $325. $325. So now, folks, if over a 52-week year, you're making 26 payments. You're doing, and the interest charges will go down. So if you can work it out with your company to pay weekly or biweekly, it'll help you. And then just a suggestion, when you move, make do with less than average appliances. Just make do with less than average appliances. I remember when Brother Caleb was here as an assistant pastor, they moved in the little house over here in Bradley. Y'all remember that? And I was over there one day for something, or else he showed me a picture. He got a nice refrigerator for a ridiculous price. It had about a three-inch dent in it. But the price he paid for it was like unbelievable. If you're starting out, you don't have to have the best. Get something that works, okay? Because number 16, financial bondage creates stress. Stress. It creates stress. And folks, all you need to do is get the right kind of books on health, on what stress does to your health. You'll be shocked. If you don't know that, what stress does to your health, you'll be shocked. I said it before, I believe, and Ashley's having that C-section this Friday, but I believe with all of my heart that TIA she had in France was nothing more than stress. Because she was fixing to have a baby and move the family to Madagascar, a third world country, and I think it was all stress-related, every bit of it. Stress is, and financial bondage creates stress, okay? Living week by week with little or no extra is a bit difficult, but living in bondage to someone multiplies stress. So if you're living week by week right now with serviceable debt, manageable debt, do not go any deeper to have bigger and better. Look, last one, bigger and better becomes smaller and worse really quick when the debt is unmanageable. Bigger and better becomes smaller and worse really quick when the debt is unmanageable. So that's our principles for tonight. The wise learn from the lives of others. The wise understand the value of a good reputation. And the wise avoid as much debt as possible. And this book, all of us can learn from it. It's not all the Bible is to us, but it's all for us. And this is to young people. Young adults, young teenagers. Okay? Let's stand. Thank you for being here tonight. Father, thank you for the time in your word. Thank you for these folks' faithfulness. I pray that you'll please, Lord, give everybody a safe trip home. I pray for safety in the parking lot. People be wise and careful. Again, Lord, pray for healing for all those we mentioned earlier that have had surgery. Tom, Tyler, Brady, Barb, Julie. God, please be with them. I pray for Ashley Friday. God be with her. All the other requests, would you please help people? And we'll thank you for it. Bless our time in your word tonight in Christ's name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just a quick verse of invitation if anybody needs any help.